Titus chapter 2. And I'll begin reading in some familiar verses here in verse 13 and find a phrase and then take off through the Bible with it. I think it'd be important for us tonight. Titus chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great verse? I'm glad I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the tribulation period. Amen. I'm looking for that blessed hope. That's the next thing on my calendar. That ought to spur our life for Jesus, our love for Jesus, as we look earnestly for Him to come, to appear and receive us to Himself. Verse 14 says about our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for us in this verse to redeem us. To redeem us from all iniquity, to pay for all that we could not pay for. He gave Himself so that that payment could be paid in full. But He didn't just give Himself for us to redeem us from iniquity. He continued in verse 14. He says, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Jesus did not just give Himself to redeem us from our sin, but He gave Himself for us to create a peculiar people in this world that's purified, that's different, that would be a representation of Him so that they would know what it means to be redeemed, to see a picture of it, so they too might want that same redemption. So the Lord gave Himself that I might be redeemed, that I might be purified and become a peculiar individual. But not just that. He said in verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. And what's the next word? Zealous of good works. Jesus did not just give Himself for us to save us. He gave Himself for us to save us and to purify us and to make us a peculiar people. And then that peculiar people would be zealous of good works. You know, a lot of times we get off kilter with our Christianity. Some people think that Christianity is just all about being saved. Well, that's wonderful to be saved. But my Christian life is just not all about me being saved. It's also about me being a peculiar individual, right? But my Christianity, my Christian life is not just about me being a peculiar individual. It's also about me being zealous of good works. You know, there are some people that take pride in their Christianity, that they're different from the world, but they don't ever do anything. Are you with me? We need to get the whole package of why Jesus gave Himself for us. He gave Himself for us to save us, to redeem us from our iniquity. He gave Himself to make us a peculiar people, to purify us in this world. But He also saved us so that there'd be a group of people that were doing good works. But He didn't just say good works. He said, zealous of good works. Do you know there's some people in their Christianity that are glad that they're saved? They rejoice in that. And then they try to be a peculiar, purified individual. And then they even try to do good works for the glory of God. But they don't do it very zealously. You know, you can come to church and be bored to death. You know that. You can teach Sunday school class or read your Bible or pray or visit folks or give or do whatever the Christian life is all about in service and good works and not do it with any zeal. Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity, to purify in himself a peculiar people, and that there would be a people not just doing good works, but a group of people doing, zealously doing good works. You see that? God wants my heart and attitude and excitement, enthusiasm, and passion to be right. Not just singing for him, but singing with zeal. I think zeal is something that's missing in a lot of people's Christian life. And the Bible says that Jesus gave himself for me. One of the reasons was he wanted me to be zealous of good works. The word zeal in the old 1828 dictionary has this definition: passionate ardor in pursuing a thing. Somebody that just pursues something with such passion. It also says eagerness of desire. I mean, somebody just sitting on ready, you know. They're eager. They're ready. They're willing. They're excited. They're passionate about it. God wants us to be passionate about living the Christian life. He wants us to be filled with zeal, not just to do right, not just to be purified in a wicked world, but he wants us to have some zeal as we serve him as a testimony. So we'll be good commercials for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll be good examples and representations. I don't know about you, but I want to be zealous of good works in my life. You know, Jesus even had a disciple. His nickname was Zealot. You know, Simon Zelotes. And the Bible also said, it called him another place, he's called Simon the Canaanite. That brother didn't just have soul, amen. That brother had some zeal. He's a Canaanite. There are people that argue about that, whether or not he was really a Canaanite. The Bible says he's a Canaanite. He's a Canaanite. But man, he had some zeal in him. And the Lord said, I want you. We got enough dead disciples around here. I need you. Amen. What I'm trying to say is, I want to be delivered from dead religion. Amen. I don't want to be twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Amen. I want to have some life. I want to have some purity. I want to rejoice in my salvation, but I don't want to just do good for the Lord. I want to be zealous as I'm doing what he wants me to do. Zealous of good work. Now, some people are all excited about nothing. Now, that's not, there's a zeal that's not good. Look at Romans chapter 10. So I want to talk to you tonight, just a little while, about zeal, because we need more of it. We don't just need it without understanding, but we need more of it. I mean, we ought to be excited about what God has for us to do. We ought to be excited about church, excited about missions conference, excited about living the Christian life. And I know there's troubles and trials in life, but y'all never lose the zeal for the Lord. Because remember, he gave himself for you, not just to redeem you from all iniquity and purify himself peculiar people, but he gave himself for you so you would be zealous of good works. He said in Romans chapter 10, Paul said, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a what? A zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Then he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going back to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They had zeal, but it was misplaced. They were excited, but they were excited about their confusion. Look back in Acts chapter 22. It's not enough just to be excited. We've got a lot of religions, a lot of churches, a lot of people that are excited, but they're excited about nothing. They don't really have a purpose in life, a biblical one. But you know what? What we've done, we've looked at those people that are excitedly confused. And we've said, well, look at all those people hooping and hollering and so excited and they're so ignorant. And we've used that as an excuse to go on the other extreme of being so right, and we're so dead that we don't have any zeal. Zeal is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. It is a expected thing in the Christian life. But it can be misplaced. Paul said in Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was what? Zealous toward God. Look what he says. As ye all are this day. He was zealous toward God, but he was doing the wrong thing. And the Jews, they wanted to put him to death, and they were zealous for God. I tell you what, there's enough people zealous for the wrong thing. There ought to be some people zealous for the right thing. And that's a great thing about the Apostle Paul. He went from being zealous about the wrong thing to being zealous about the right thing. Wouldn't it be good if we served the Lord just as hard as we served sin, you know, before we got saved? That's what the Lord's after. He's wanting us to have that zeal in our lives. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Zeal can be misplaced, but there's nothing wrong with zeal. We have a cancer today in the body of Jesus Christ, in the churches in America that used to be alive and on fire, and they're still, many of them, doctrinally sound, but they're so dead. And that's not why God saved us. Do you think up in heaven they're just bored as they can be? No, I bet there's some zeal up there. When Gideon said, hey guys, you know what we need to do? We need to cry with a loud voice. There's not a lot of us, but let's just give it all we got. Shout the sword of the Lord of Gideon. Break those pitchers and hold those lamps out there. Let's just have some zeal. We're outnumbered, but man, let's make some noise while we hold out the light. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be holding out that light, declaring the message of the Word of God. We need to do it with zeal. Do it with zeal. Galatians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 14 that he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. His zeal was not in the right place. But that didn't mean he wasn't supposed to continue in his zeal in the right place. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians is an interesting book. People that have taught the Bible have perverted the message of the book of Galatians. People try to say that Galatians is a book about legalizers, and what that means in their definition is anybody believes in living holy and godly and right and having some standards in your life is a legalizer, is a legalist. And that's not what the book of Galatians is about. The book of Galatians is about people that are preaching another gospel. And they're trying to say that people can be justified by the law. But look, and so Paul has a problem here as he writes to them to try to correct that. And he says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 14, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. He said, you know, when I came the first time, you guys were so excited about me being there, you thought I was an angel. He went from being an angel to being an enemy. You see verse 16? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? How did I go from being an angel to an enemy? Look at verse 15. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? Why have you lost the blessing all so fast? Why have you lost your excitement and your blessing about the things that you used to be excited and blessed by? He said, for I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes. and have given them to me. I mean, you were ready. He said, you Galatians were ready to pluck out your own eyes for my benefit if it helped me, and now I'm your enemy. You sort of lost something there. Look at verse 17. What happened was, look at it. They zealously affect you, but not well. He said, somebody's got you real excited about something you ought not be excited about. Now listen, I'm somebody that gets easily excited about some things. But before I say that, look at verse 18. But it is good, look at it now, it is good to be zealously affected always. Do you see that? But look at the context. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. And he says some people are trying to get you excited about things that that aren't good things for you to be excited about. I mean, people today, what do they get excited about? Well, I got a raise, or I got a new car, or my ball team won. Right? I get excited about a lot of things too, but you know what? The best thing to be zealously affected over is a good thing. Is a good thing. There are some things God could care less about. And then there are some things that are good things that He wants you to be real excited about. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. You know what I think a good thing is? I think sending the gospel around the world is a good thing. Isn't that a good thing? How many think it's a good thing? Well, then we ought to be zealously affected always in that thing, because it's a good thing. And James said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. But it's not just wrong to not do a good thing. It's also wrong not to do it in a zealous way. The Lord deserves my zeal in that good thing. And he deserves that all the time. So, well, I just didn't feel like shouting today. Well, praise God, you may have woke up not felt married, but it didn't matter, you know. I mean. So he said, always, if it's a good thing, be zealous about it. Kick yourself and say, let's get zealous about this. You may have come to church one time and man, we're singing and... Let me ask you a question. Is singing to the Lord a good thing? Is it a good thing? Then you ought to do it zealously. Because the Bible says it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. With all you got. Remember, passionate. Passionate. And I get up here singing, I want to say amen. It's all right to say amen, not just in the preaching, but in the singing. It's all right to be zealous. If it's good, be zealously affected about it. I think it's a good thing for brethren to dwell together in unity and have fellowship. And we ought to do that with zeal. Sit down at the table, have missions cover, get together with a missionary. Just be zealous about it. Wow, that's just great to be here. I'm passionate about it. Get to go to church again. Get to go soul winning again. Well, that was a few less. Is that a good thing? Paul says, you know, Galatians, what happened is you're zealous about things that's really not worth getting excited about. And so you don't have the passion for the good thing that you ought to be excited about. God help our zeal to be in the right place. I mean, when the missionaries give their presentations, show their slides, let's be zealous about it. Take a missions trip, be excited about it. Whatever it is, Lord, if it's a good thing, I'm going to be excited about it. Clean the church. Do it with zeal. Amen. Even if you can't do it with knowledge. No. Get it together. Do whatever we do, we need to do it with zeal. With passion. Go to John chapter 2. So the first thing is about our zeal. We need to be zealously affected in whatever good thing we do. Whatever good work, we ought to be excited about it. if it's driving a bus, if it's teaching a class or helping kids, amen, or if it's serving people food, if it's a good thing, if it's a good work, God just doesn't want us just to do it. He wants us to do it with zeal. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm just not very emotional. Let me hit your hand with a hammer and I bet you'll be emotional. Everybody's emotional about something. Everybody is. We just need to put our passion in the things of the Lord. Jesus had passion. Watch this. John chapter 2, he had zeal. I tell you what. And everybody, I don't expect everybody to preach like me or to be as loud as I am or anything when they give the Word of God. But I tell you what, I look at some people when they try to give the Word of God and I'm saying, you know, that's not how Jesus did it. He's not nearly beloved. This is the... No, there's some heart. Look at this story right here of how much zeal Jesus... I'll tell you what, if you're Jesus Christ, you can't preach to thousands of people without a PA system and be quiet as a mouse. You can't sit out in a ship and preach to everybody on the shore and they hear you without some zeal. Amen. Watch this zeal he had. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Now watch it. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. That is a quote of David in Psalm 69:9. And Jesus had such zeal over the house of God that when he saw things not being done right in the house of God, and I want to say this as reverently as I know how, he just went nuts on them. He did not come in and say, okay, guys, you need to pack up and get out. That's what, you know, if I'm the pastor, that's what I try to do. I try to have an even kilter, you know, and not be so loud and harsh. Hey, you know, we need to pack this up and change this. We need to get rid of this. But Jesus, he didn't come up to us. You know, I don't think, guys, it's a good idea for you to sell these doves. He was so passionate. He was so zealous. He starts throwing their tables over. That's the Jesus that nobody in the world knows about. Throws their tables over, spills their money out. And he didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I dropped all your money. Let me. No, he did it on purpose. Get out of here. And then he started running all the animals out. Zeal. You know what he said? I care about this house. I got some heart in this house. I love this house. I love my Father. And I'm passionate about what goes on in here. Boy, God, give us that passion for the house of God, for the things of God, for the work of God, for the will of God. Passion that it would drive me. Boy, you'd almost think we Baptists could take another lesson from Joshua, you know. They're marching around the city of Jericho, and he said, you know, the day I bid you shout, shout. Remember that? Somebody said, well, we don't shout, we're Baptists. Well, I've never shouted. You know what it takes? It takes zeal to shout.
Amen.
And he didn't say, now I want you to pray about it, and if God leads you, I want you to shout. He said, no, what we're doing is for God. What we're doing is the will of God and the work of God. And I want you to shout with all the zeal that you have in your heart. Shout it out. And those walls come tumbling down. That Bible says, all ye that are upright in heart, shout for joy. That's what it says. All ye. Well, let's just read it. Make sure I just quote it right. Psalm 32. I believe that's where it is. Yeah. Look, I understand there are multiplied, confused religious people that are zealous and they are not zealous according to knowledge, and they're not doing things appropriately in the house of God. I understand that. We're not charismatics, but I tell you what, we don't have any danger of being charismatic here. They're not any danger of that. They're not anybody even close to that edge of excitement. I mean, that's not going to be a worry. The worry is going to be on the other end. Hey, the Muslims are excited. They go, all that crazy stuff, screaming and hollering. Right, they're excited, screaming and hollering while they're dying, running themselves in the building, the people. Excited about it. And we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we're headed to heaven. And we got a purpose in life. We ought to be a lot more excited than that. Psalm 32 said, well, boy, my eyes just hit a verse, and I said, well, read that one too. Look at verse 9, Psalm 32, 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. He said, I'm not trying to let you to be out of control or someone that has no understanding in your life. I don't want you to be like that. Look at verse 11. But he does say, be glad in the Lord and rejoice ye righteous and shout for joy all ye that are upright in heart. You see that? Amen. He didn't say just you that get emotional. He said, be glad in the Lord and rejoice ye righteous and shout for joy all ye that are upright in heart. Amen. So if you're upright in heart, then you ought to have some zeal in you. Amen. And you can show it in the church. You can show it in your closet. You can show it out in the woods. But this dead dryness is not why God saved people. He wants that zeal, that passion in our lives. And you know, the truth is, heathen people, they're very, very zealous. Look at Acts chapter 19. Maybe you say, Lord, help me be more zealous about the good works. Help me be more zealous about your house. Help me be more zealous about those good things that I've involved. Not just to do them, but man, to be passionate about it. And Acts 19 is a story of the Ephesians that are so angry at these people getting saved. And the Bible says that they're afraid that their false idol worship is in danger. And look at verse 27, Acts 19, 27. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. They're afraid that the house, the temple of the goddess Diana is going to be harmed. Verse 28, and when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath. There's a lot of zeal, but it's in the wrong place. Full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed, look at the phrasing, they rushed with one accord into the theater. They are so passionate about their false goddess Diana that they're all in one accord and they're all confused. They don't even know why they're there. They're mad. They don't even know why they're mad. You ever met anybody like that? Mad, don't even know why they're mad. And confused, but just determined. That's this crowd here. They are confused, but they're determined to get together and do something. We don't know what. Keep reading. And the Bible says, when Paul would have entered in, verse 30, other people and disciples suffered him not, certain the chief Asia, etc. Drop down to verse 34. And when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." You know what that is? That's zeal. I guarantee you for sure, as a Christian, you and I have never cried out for 2 hours anything. Not 2 solid hours. 2 solid hours. The same thing. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. For 2 hours. That's some zeal. I got so convicted of that, about that passage right there. I was preaching through the book of Acts in Romania in our church. I got so convicted about that passage that the next time I was on the street corner preaching the gospel, I started crying out, "Great is the Lord Jesus Christ." And I just kept doing it time after time. You know what? After about 7-8 minutes, it got uncomfortable. And that's the message the whole world needs to hear, right? Great is the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a message. And I just kept saying it over and over. I tell you, about 5, 6, 7 minutes into that, people started stopping. I mean, it got their attention. It made the whole town square uncomfortable. And I just kept on. But I tell you what, I hit about 10 minutes and I thought, man, that's about all I can do. You try doing anything 2 hours like that. What I'm trying to say is heathen people have more zeal for what's wrong. And God's not asking us to go out on the street corner and cry for 2 hours, "Great is the Lord Jesus Christ." It'd be all right. Yeah. I'm sure in heaven we won't get tired of doing that. Oh, man, that's just too hard, too long. Man, my voice is getting tired. I'm uncomfortable. I got to sit down. I got to go home. Hot out here. Right? And here are these confused, heathen, goddess-worshipping people. And 2 hours, they're zealous for their false god. God help us. I'm just saying this. I don't really think you could probably get too zealous for the Lord. Try it. Just get over. No, we're too worried about. Man, I look crazy doing that for 2 hours. I looked crazy doing that for 10 minutes. But you know what? He's worthy of that. Amen. And more. He's worthy of my passionate song, my passionate life, my zeal for his house. Where's your zeal? What are you zealous about? What are you passionate about? It should be the Lord. It should be our meeting that is upcoming. Hey, I got to hurry up and give you the rest of this and complete this message. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Zeal for a good thing. Zeal for God's house. Colossians chapter 4. This is interesting here. Colossians 4 verse 12. Colossians 4 verse 12. The Bible says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Look at verse 13. "For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis." This man, this brother in Christ, this servant of Christ, was zealous for God's people. He was zealous for the Colossians. He was zealous for the Laodiceans. He was zealous for those in Hierapolis. He just was passionate about anybody that knew Jesus Christ. Even if they weren't all what they should be. I'm looking down there at Laodicea and I'm thinking, yeah, I read something about those people. They're not hot and they're not cold. There wasn't any zeal in Laodicea. Hey, whoa, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Lord says, no, you're wretched and blind and miserable and naked. And Epaphras said, I've even got zeal for those people. I love them. We need some zeal for one another, is what I'm trying to say. Even with all the warts and the, amen. Zeal for each other. The family, it's supposed to be a family. I'm not just worried about my little family. This is my, the whole thing is my family.
Amen.
That's what it's supposed to be, right? When we get to heaven, it ain't going to be my little family. Those relationships are over. We're all the family. I hate to ruin that little party. We're all the family. We're all blood-bought children of God, brethren. See? And that's a wonderful thing because there's a lot of people that don't have such a nice family. But they get saved, they got a wonderful family. We be zealous for each other. I got two more and I got to hurry. Revelation 3. Zealous for a good thing, zealous for God's house, zealous for God's people. Revelation chapter 3, and really you can, boy, there's a good illustration all the way back there where we just left in Acts 19 about what I'm fixing to read to you in Acts 19. But Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 19, this is to Laodicea, a good jumping off point from what we just read. Revelation 3:19, the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be what? Zealous therefore, and what? We ought to be zealous repenters. He didn't say repent. He said, be zealous. Have you ever, man, I tell you what, I have sat in a service before and the preacher's just been starting plowing my row and I'm saying, Lord, please help him to shut up so I can run to the altar. You ever been that way? God, I want to go now. Amen. You ever seen people run to the altar? Zealously? So just, you know, having 12 stanzas to to beg your heart, you know, to repent. Zealous to repent. I'll never forget, man, I was preaching in the train station right there in Romania, and there were three ladies that came right out and stood right there. I hadn't been in Romania very long at all. I was preaching in English, and there's a guy with me, and he was trying to help me interpret. And the first time I had an interpreter, and those three ladies were there, and the more I preached, the more he interpreted, those ladies just started crying. I mean, I didn't know who, never seen it before in my life. I mean, just tears just streaming. This is in front of God and everybody. Just bawling. And when I got through and I saw that, I said, well, if you want to get saved, get on your knees. And man, it was muddy on the ground. It'd been raining. And those women got down on their knees in that mud. You know what? That's some zeal to repent. I never forget, I was in the village, in the gypsy village one time, and a young man, he had all kind of problems. He said, man, I need to get saved. And I said, all right. I went through the Bible with him, went through, made sure he understood. All right. And of course, I don't lead people. I said, you pray. God can hear you. You call out to God. And this guy, when he started praying to be saved, it scared me. I'm not kidding. I thought he was going to start praying, you know, Lord Jesus. I said, go ahead and pray if you want to get saved. This kid starts screaming. I'm talking screaming out loud. Oh, God! You say, well, that's just a little strange. Well, it's better than no heart when you pray. He said, some zeal in that repentance there. Some passion in your repenting. Not just, God, I'm sorry, but just with a whole heart. I got to give you. And really, that whole heart, you can find it back in Acts 19. The Bible said they took all those books and curious arts and they gathered them together, all that stuff of their old lifestyle, and they burned all that stuff. The Bible said it was 50,000 pieces of silver worth. If I'm not mistaken, that is the highest cost of silver in the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Those people repented so they got everything of their old life and they burned it. I remember when my brother got right with God, he had so many bad albums and cassettes. I mean, stacks of them, you know. What are you going to do with that? Well, I'm going to get rid of them, praise God. Get rid of them. Be zealous to get rid of them. Zealous to repent.
I've seen people have such a problem with TV and they repent and they go out and beat the daylights out of it and shoot it with a shotgun. Amen. So that's foolish. Well, it's better than... Like the guy's cutting my hair today. I was talking to him. He was in the military. I was talking to him and witnessing to him a little bit there. And he said, you know, I got a problem. I'm saved, but I got a problem. He said, I got a problem with pornography. And he said, but I'm getting better on it. He said, I'm getting better on it. He said, I just go back to it now just about every 2 weeks. And he thinks he's about to have it licked. He thinks he's about taking care of it. Man, I've been struggling, but man, God's helped me get the victory, and I just go back about every 2 weeks now. I tell you what, that's not zealous repenting. I mean, for a drunk, when he repents, he needs to smash all the bottles. He needs to exercise great zeal and anger on the thing that's destroying his life. Repent with zeal. I'm finished. One more. 2 Corinthians 9. And you know, because of our missions conference, we'd end here, but I didn't write the Bible. I just read it. And he said here about our zeal, zeal for a good thing, zeal for the house of God, zeal for God's people. Zeal to repent. And then 2 Corinthians 9, this is the missions passage, of course. And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your what? Zeal hath provoked very many. What's he talking about? Their zeal and example of giving, as he says on down in the text, that God loves a cheerful giver. They were giving with zeal. They committed to do it a year ago with zeal. Hey, Paul, we're going to do this. We're excited about doing this. Again, not just doing a good thing, but doing it with zeal. Praise God, I get to have a part. Amen. Lord. What do you want me to do this year, Lord? Woo! Glory to God. I'm going to write this down again. Honey, let's go pray down at that altar. Put that card down. Glory be to God. With zeal. You see, every good thing we do, if we don't do it with all our heart, that's not why Jesus gave himself for us. He gave himself for us so we would be passionate about everything he's passionate about. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us have zeal. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you for your attention. We'll be dismissed in prayer.